Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Right. Today in the studio, I have the fabulous Esther Jacobs with me, currently in Miami. Esther is a speaker, author of over 25 books, book writing mentor, and digital nomad, otherwise known as the No Excuses Lady. More on that in a minute. Welcome, Esther. Can you start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Hi. Basically, I am a speaker, writer, and organizer of retreats and workshops. I only do things that I like. I only do things that inspire me. And whatever I learn, I pass on to other people. So I learned to write books, and now I help other people to write books. I learned to live as a location-independent entrepreneur, and now I help other people find their freedom. So this is who I am now, but I don't know who I'm going to be in the next 5 years or so because it keeps changing.
Now, that is already very inspirational in itself. Now, I came across Esther when she was looking for someone to co-edit her latest masterpiece. It's all about writing a book in a week and is called Reverse Writing, a really very insightful book. She is not the sort of lady you meet every day. As I said, she has written profusely, guided so many authors to actually doing it, offers her writing courses all over the world, one of which I know was on a cruise because I know somebody who attended. To me, Esther epitomizes embracing life to the full, always on the go, traveling all over the place, radiating energy, happiness, and health with an unstoppable can-do spirit. And yes, she is over 50. Actually, if I remember well, I saw recently that you bought an olive grove in Italy and were producing your own olive oil.
Right. I wasn't planning to do that, but I used to live in Mallorca, in the inland of Mallorca, and I love the countryside feeling. But I broke up with my ex who I co-owned it with. And Mallorca is too expensive to buy anything there. And then I happened to be in Puglia in South Italy, and I found that it's exactly the same landscape. Olive trees, red earth, these dry stone walls of piled up stones, and I found out that to buy something there, it's really, really affordable. So I actually went back, and without knowing anything or anybody, within 3 days, I just bought a plot of land. And then I realized, oh my God, the olives are ripe. I have to harvested my 24 trees. It turned out to be 240 liters of real pure extra virgin olive oil. And within 1 day, I created the logo, I set up a website, Tiny Trullo, and I sold out all my olive oil within 3 weeks. I'm going to organize a trip there as well for other people who want to buy some land. And I'm restoring the old Trullo, like an old traditional house on there. I'm building something extra. So I'm in the middle of like building permits, landscape committees. And I didn't speak Italian, but I started learning Italian on Duolingo. So now I do even my building meetings in broken Italian.
Incredible.
It's an incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all of this is about your secret. How do you do it? But I mean, I dare say the title of our talk already gives a big hint. It's called the No Excuses Lady. So basically, where the rest of us only dream and then come up with an entire barrage of reasons why it's totally unrealistic, you just, as you said yourself, live your life doing what you like to do, and you just go for it. So how did you become this no excuses lady?
I think, yeah, it's just a way of life. You can focus on the things that are not possible or on the barriers, but you can also focus on the possibilities. And where other people see problems or challenges, I only see possibilities and opportunities.
So would you say you were born with this sort of mindset, this sort of can do and don't tell me I can't because I'll prove you the contrary?
I think so. I think that's a big trigger when people tell me it's not possible. It used to be my big trigger to kind of prove that it is possible. But on the other hand, it's also an entrepreneurial mindset. And right. I've never worked for a boss or a company. I've always been an entrepreneur, which means actually that you fail 1,000 times. You know, right. You try a million things and you fail like 90% of the time, and 10% of the time it works out.
And well, then, so that's probably one of the first, you know, sort of tips or lessons. It's indeed you might fail, whereas you're saying, well, yes, but if I don't try,
the more you learn,
Right.
And you get to know yourself, and that's the best investment you can make. You can invest in fancy clothes or a big house or whatever material things, but you can lose them. But true. Anything you invest in yourself, in traveling and trying out different things and finding out who you are, stays with you forever. And like I also change. So things I used to like, I don't like anymore. I don't like to repeat things. So I set up a cruise once, and I did an inspiration cruise your business. And it was fun, and I helped people, and I made some money, and I did it two or three times. And then I didn't want to do it anymore. Right. So I had a working concept, and other people started copying me, but I just didn't want to do it anymore.
But you say you're very driven by challenge. Once you've got it working, then somehow you're restless and want to try something else.
Well, I know the big thing that's the biggest challenge, and where I really noticed that this was my big trigger, is when the euro was introduced in the Netherlands in 2002. And I decided to collect all the leftover foreign coins for charity. And everybody said it wasn't possible. I didn't have any experience in charity, in money processing, in marketing, basically in nothing. I was like 28. And the more people said it wasn't possible, the more I pushed and persevered. And in the end, I collected 60 million euro for charity. Without emphasis, I got everything volunteered, free publicity, et cetera, sponsored. But it did cost me a lot of time and energy and frustration. But I did it.
But you did it. And I mean, not just a little bit. I mean, that's a huge sum of money. It's the sort of thing that, yes, you fail. But when you occasionally have a huge success like this, which is even bigger than maybe even you dreamed of at the time, that feeling of fulfillment is what brings you through the next time, and which helps you get over maybe the next bump on the road, which didn't go as planned.
True. And the only risk of this is that the outside world only sees your successes.
True.
And it looks like you're some kind of a superwoman, you know, and they feel more distance instead of feeling more related to you. So I learned that only later. In the beginning, I thought I only had to talk about my successes, share the lessons that I learned to help other people achieve success. And then I learned that the more vulnerable I was, the more I shared also about my failures, the more people could relate, and the more I was actually helping them.
Because that's true strength, isn't it? You know, true strength is the resilience to pick yourself up when you fall, and to, as you say, have that mindset to say, there's no failure. I have learned something, even if it's to not do that again. I'm becoming richer and stronger every day. You know, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, sort of thing. And that's what I encourage also in my podcast. None of us are superwomen. We've all had our vulnerabilities, and we've all had our moments where we've, you know, put everything in question, especially ourselves. And then it's that resilience to sort of say, okay, but wait a minute, you know, I haven't failed. I have, now I do know what I need. And it is that attitude. Now, you have no real home then, do I understand well, as a nomad?
I used to have a house in the Netherlands. I owned it. But by law, there was a stupid law that said you had to sleep in your own house for at least 4 months a year in order to be registered. And I got deregistered from my own house.
Goodness.
And because I didn't sleep in another place for 4 months a year, not in another country, because I'm always traveling 1 month here, 2 weeks here, 2 months there. Officially, I live nowhere because I don't spend enough time in one place. So that puts me in a very difficult position because, you know, everything is linked to a permanent residence.
True.
And it also gives me a lot of freedom because I don't have to keep bookkeeping anymore. I don't pay tax. But on the other hand, also, I don't have a pension. I don't have social security. I can't fall back on anything if I need to. But I've always been an entrepreneur, and I've always taken care of myself. And who knows that your pension or retirement will be there when it's time? And who says that
exactly,
you know, when COVID hits, you will get money paid by the government as an entrepreneur? So I know, at least that's a certainty in this uncertainty, that I have to depend on myself. So
a lot of strength. I think a lot of people, I mean, have you, a very personal question, have you never met anyone you wanted to actually stay with?
I have met some people that I really liked spending time with, and I tried to adapt myself to their life, which was more location-based, and they have tried to adapt to my life by traveling a bit more, but it's never been like a real good match. And, you know, I cannot do too many concessions to be with somebody because then I'm not true to myself.
You're not true to yourself. And as you know, we've had a few speakers on here on that learning to be authentic, learning. That is the advantage, I think, of being over 50, is that we do have a little bit more wisdom and insight, and maybe things that we tried very hard to hide or whatsoever. We finally dare saying, okay, you know, this is who I am. This is, you know, what I'm good at. These are things I'm less good at. And it is really embracing all of who we are. And
boundaries, you know, several times. And now we know not to do that anymore. Whatever, right. If it's relationships or work or energy management. And like you say, I really, really enjoy knowing who I am, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what I want to do, what I don't want to do. And the funny thing is, I was just sharing with you that I don't like repeating things. So many of the initiatives I created, I only did once or twice. And there's only one thing that I really enjoy doing, and I keep doing it. And that's actually helping people to write their books.
Right.
Like every year I organize 1, 2, or 3 writing retreats, and I have a writer's mastermind, and I coach people to write their book. And I realize the reason why I like that is that all those people have stories to share.
Right.
Like always a present when I do like an introduction round, whether it's online or in real life. And there's people that look very ordinary, and then they start sharing their stories and their strengths and their vulnerabilities. And I'm like, wow. It's special that I get to guide them to share their story with the world.
Right. And to make them actually do it, because I mean, I'm totally on the same line with you. I always say everyone has a story to share. And that's also one of the reasons I shared this podcast. It's also the idea of, you know, I'm curious, you know, how do these people do it? How did they get to be who they are? You know, was that passion always with them, or was it something that they learned over the years, you know, but also what frightens them, and what, you know, what have they overcome? Lots of them have overcome big hardships to get who they are. And that is the beauty of it, is it that they're not indeed these global, you know, wonderful people, but they've struggled, you know, to get to where
real
they are.
Real people with real lives.
Exactly. And it must be so wonderful, because so many of the people who come to you know that they have a story, but either it's self-doubt about who's going to want to listen to my story, or just literally don't know how. I don't know where to start. Or I mean, I have started I don't know how many books, but it's the same thing. It's actually too much. There's far too much that I want to talk about. And then I get completely lost. So I do need to get back into your reverse writing and actually do one, and then I'll do another and another. But if we're talking today about, okay, so you're the no excuses lady. Now, knowing that maybe not everybody has the courage and this amazing free spirit attitude that you have, as you say, we change. It's not that you found one path and you're sticking to it. You take the path which feels good there. It's not just that you flit in and out. You then make something of it. You do something. You see it through to the end. And then if it's no longer filling you with passion and purpose, then it's time to move on to something else. So what would you say are ingredients that you could share to the listeners about how to have that no excuse mind?
Well, I think it's well known. You have this nice image, a drawing of your comfort zone. It's like a circle. And then there's another little circle or an arrow, and it says, this is where the magic happens. So
right.
What is sure,
the circle is not happens. in the comfort zone, right? For those who can't see us.
The magic is outside of your comfort zone. And the interesting thing is my comfort zone is very big, like uncertainty has become my comfort zone.
Right.
But everybody has their own comfort zone. And for some people, using a different laundry detergent is already very exciting, you know, and very scary. So then your comfort zone is maybe a little bit closer there. And for somebody else, it's going to a new country on holiday, or doing online dating, or starting their own business. You don't have to compare your comfort zone to my comfort zone. It's just a matter of discovering where your comfort zone ends and then taking just a tiny step to the other side of that line.
So maybe that's a good exercise or thought process for people who will be on, you know, on holiday this summer, to give some thought to, okay, where is my comfort zone? What are the things that I do? But I know that I always do them, and that's where I am. But you know, I think we all want more. I mean, that's just the way we human beings are wired. We always want more. And as you say, for one person, more is a huge step. For the other, it's just something small. So to think that everybody asks themselves the question, then how can I step outside my comfort zone? What could I actually do and commit to doing and seeing how that feels? And as you say, the comfort zone grows with us, right?
You have to choose something that's just a little bit scary. So if it's not scary, it's not stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
But if it completely paralyzes you, then it's too big of a step. So find something that tickles you a little bit and see how it makes you feel when you actually do it, when you overcome that little bit of fear or hesitance. And then when you do it, it gives you a huge boost.
And right. So it's going to be something that you've always perhaps thought about doing and were perhaps quite close to. So we're not talking about suddenly becoming an astronaut or something, but there was something that you were quite close to. And to take that as your first example to prove to yourself also that you can, I suppose.
Yeah. Maybe it's taking a singing lesson or maybe it's going horseback riding that you always did as a little girl and you've never done since, you know. And you thought about it, you never did it. So why don't you just do it this week and then see how it makes you feel? And when that feels good, you can go to your wish list and see what else did I want to do? And am I a bit scared of, and what could be a logical next step?
I think that's a very good one. And it's gentle. It's not one of those, you know, choosing something which, you know, as you say,
quitting your job, selling your house and going to live as a digital nomad, you know, when you've never done anything like that. That's too big. Though for some people, that's a logical next step, and that's their stepping out of their comfort zone. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. The goal of it all is to learn and to get energy from it and find that balance between a little bit of tension, a little bit of scariness, and the energy you get from it.
That's a beautiful one. I remember once I had a sign in my bathroom which sort of said that every year we had to learn something new. Because, of course, when you learn something new, it is taking you outside your comfort zone, whether it's, you know, driving a race car or whether it's indeed another language or tango lessons or, you know, whatever it is that you haven't done yet but know you would like to do. Okay, that is a great first tip. What else?
Find the balance. I think it's all about balance. Find the balance between your head and your heart. I have lived most of my life with my ratio that's actually the masculine energy, if you know about yin and yang and different names for it, but basically you have feminine and masculine energy. Masculine is the doing energy, the pushing, the really present energy, and female energy is more the emotions, the flowing, the holding space. And I've always trained, it's the only thing I knew, the masculine energy, setting up this charity, being an entrepreneur, living without a home, when in fact, you know, I wanted to have a home, but it wasn't possible. So I wanted to prove that I don't need it. Being independent, which has served me really, really well. You know, I can get things done. I know how to live my life, how to inspire others, how to set things up, how to initiate things. So that has served me really well, but I was living mostly from my head.
Right.
And I also got a burnout using more energy than I generated. So I didn't give myself a chance to recuperate. And I learned that the secret is in finding balance between feminine and masculine energy. So basically, I also have to live in my body instead of just in my head. I have to listen more to my heart, my intuition, instead of just ratio. And when you find a nice balance between those two, then energy management also becomes much easier because you don't have to push yourself. You follow your energy.
And did you learn that in any particular way?
No, I had two car accidents causing two whiplashes and causing two burnouts. And I just didn't want to, you know, be guided by my body. So I just overruled all that. And I just continued and continued until I couldn't anymore. And then I knew I had to change something. But what I was doing, I was putting yoga lessons and meditation lessons on my to-do list.
Yes.
And the thing is, you get out of the doing mode into the being. Mm-hmm. And you cannot put being on your to-do list. But I didn't know that. It was the only toolbox I had. So I had to develop a completely new toolbox in which being is in fact the only tool and the only result and the only...
And you managed to do that?
I'm still struggling. So now at least I know that there's a different way. And when I sometimes tap into it, it feels so good and natural and normal, and I can still get things done.
Yes, it doesn't mean that you just sit there listening to your heart all day. Yeah. It's you're actually following also that intuition, which is not the same as rational, but which often means, you know, we're talking about moving, you know, beyond your comfort zone, and also, you know, you are following your heart because you're doing what you like doing. So not just what makes sense financially or economically, or because that's the brain. So, but it's really slowing down and being aware of where that lies in your body and what it is saying to you.
Yes. And what the interesting thing is for many women, when you follow that intuition and you be guided by your feminine side, things happen effortlessly. Yes. And when you do it with your masculine side, you have to push and you have to put energy into it. And somehow we've learned in our society and also as women that you cannot have success or you cannot have appreciation if you haven't struggled for it. So right. When something happens effortlessly and it goes really easy and then something is created or something happens, we feel like we haven't worked for it.
Exactly. We don't deserve it. Mm. Very true. Very true. And I see another one that you'd also shared with me, which I thought was very good, was also to put your energy into what you can influence.
Yes, I see. I have experience, for example, when I was working, doing this collection in the charity world, I saw a lot of things that weren't fair, that weren't logical, that weren't efficient. And I tried to change things, but it was an old boys network, you know, and I was just a girl, a naive girl, you know, walking into this world and trying to change things that other people were desperately trying to maintain.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of people get burned out and frustrated trying to change things that they cannot control.
Right.
And I've learned the hard way that when you concentrate on things that you can,
then and to actually doing something about
charge.
It. Yeah.
So it's a hard lesson, but there's a nice metaphor when you go to the sea and you want to surf. It says you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf.
Right.
So if you arrive on the beach with your surfboard and there's no waves, you can complain to the weather station that said that there were going to be waves, or you can say, I want waves, or whatever.
You're going to waste a lot of energy and yes. It's going to have zero effect.
Yeah. So if you are actually when you want to swim and there's a lot of waves, you know, you're going to be in the washing machine. But then when you learn to surf, you actually use the waves that are and you learn to use what is already there, and you don't try to change the current situation. And
right.
I have tried to do that many times, and I still notice a lot of people trying to do that, trying to change other people, trying to blame the government or the economy or whatever. Those are things you cannot change. The only thing yes. you have control over is how you react to it.
Exactly. And I think that's very much in line with the way that I see it too. You know, if there are things that you can change, do it. Take action, even if it means moving outside your comfort zone, do it. But have the wisdom to recognize the changes which are outside your zone of influence and just embrace them or let them be. You know, just some things, it's just that letting go of thinking that we can control everything. And as you say, spending all our energy instead of thinking, okay, what else can I do without the waves? You know, maybe I can lie on my board and paddle along or whatsoever and enjoy it, is that frustration of something that we're not controlling, which then makes us feel like a victim, which puts us into that very restrained mindset, which hasn't made anybody ever feel happy. Now, we're almost running out of time, I'm afraid. I could speak to you for ages, and we will definitely have you back on another of those millions of themes you could help inspire us with. You mentioned a quote in your notes to me.
Yeah, when you really want something, you'll find a way. And if you don't, you'll find an excuse.
And I find that is so right. That is so right. So really think about it. You know, if it's something that you really want, then trust that you will find a way.
And if you find yourself making excuses, maybe it's something that you don't really want.
Or that you think that other people think that you should want, or that it's not from your heart again.
I meet a lot of people saying, oh, I wish I could travel around the world like you do. And I said, well, why don't you? If it's something you really want, you can do it. But then it turns out that maybe they're too attached to their house or their work. But now they're putting their energy into like, oh, yes, I want to do it. But and maybe they take a course or a workshop where they read books about it. And then they get frustrated because they're not doing it. And when you the grass of the neighbors is always greener. Exactly. But when you water your own grass, it will also get green. So don't put your energy into something that you actually don't want. Put your energy in something that you do want.
So much wisdom from such a young woman. Right. Listen, we are going to shut off for today. I mean, for people out there, of course, your full details will be in the information surrounding this episode. But in short, where do we get hold of you if we want to tap into more of this super ingredient Esther has?
I have a lot of blogs and videos and tips on my website, estherjacobs.info. So it's
.info,
which is a bit weird. And I'm very active on social media, mostly Facebook and Instagram. And my handle is Esther Jacobs or Esther Jacobs. And I would love it if people follow me on social media and ask me questions or, you know, give me topics they would like me to talk about, because I really want to share everything I do and I want to enable you also to live your best life. So,
well, I'm already getting lots of thoughts, because let alone having you back to talk about writing a book, which very many of my listeners are thinking of doing. The other topic is also social media. And if I remember well, you actually got some prize as an influencer, didn't you? Because you really master the social media networks.
I found out that I'm in the top 10% of social media influencers worldwide.
Worldwide, right. So I think we have a lot to learn.
Sandra Merkel and just below Madonna, because I only have like maybe 30,000 followers altogether, but people have been following me for 15 years.
Yes.
And they're very loyal. So somehow I'm doing something well that I try to find out what it is, and I can help people with that as well.
I think we like you, and I think we like your... Esther, thank you very much for today. Good luck with everything that you're doing. Enjoy Miami, and I hope to have you back soon.
Thanks for having me, and see you back soon.
Right. Now, to the rest of you out there, as always, it is up to you. So, you know, what have you learned? What are you going to change? And when are you going to start? I mean, we mentioned many great tips there. You know, finding your comfort zone and then daring take that first small step out of it and seeing how that feels, following your heart, changing the things that you can change, but just accepting the rest and not pouring all your energy into that. I wish you all a wonderful summer and look forward to having you back soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.